Today, I want to start a study in the book of 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter, and we're going to start contrasting some things because we just read the two pastoral epistles, not the only two, but two of the pastoral epistles that Paul wrote to Timothy, and he also wrote one to Titus. But here we see Peter's letters that are not necessarily considered pastoral, but they're the only epistles that he wrote. And so we can look at his thinking and compare it to things that we know Paul wrote, particularly as he addressed some of the issues that he was going through in 1 and 2 Timothy in the series we just completed. And let's see how different they are. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We read, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, first of all, we've got a region there. I'm going to do a very poor job, I'm sure, of drawing a map on the board here. So I'm going to pull up a map that I can look at to make sure my scale is at least something akin to normal. All right, let's see. Something like this. This would be essentially Turkey or Asia. And then it kind of comes down here. And Israel would sort of be in this area. And this would be Egypt down here. And I guess somewhere around here would be the Sinai Peninsula, something like that, and whatever. There's Cyprus off to the coast here and that type of thing. But this is Asia in general. And Galatia, Bithynia, Pontus, you've got kind of Galatia around here. Bithynia and Pontus is up here in this region. Up here above us is the Black Sea, and it kind of comes down to Greece. And that type of thing there. Again, not to scale. That's sufficient, I think, to show what I want to get you to see. Because if we're going to read Peter and find out to whom he's writing his letters, it would be good for us to know and address who these people are and where they are. Asia is basically over here. And I guess Cappadocia is somewhere in this area too. Now, it's important to understand that Galatia covers a fairly large area of this peninsula. And Paul went there in his early ministry to some cities. Go back to the book of Acts and hold on to 1 Peter there. And look in Acts chapter 14. Well, I guess we'll start in 13. That'll be sufficient. We're just going to touch on a few verses. When Paul begins his ministry in Acts 13, and I know Cyprus really isn't that far away, so let me move that a little bit here. It's a little bit more like this. But when Paul goes to, when he's sent out in Acts 13, he goes to Cyprus first. They set sail from here, and they go to Cyprus, go through the island, and then they sail up north here, all right? And they touch the coast, look in verse chapter 13, and go to verse 13. Acts 13, 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, which was on the island there, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. So, Perga and all these little cities are all up in here, right down in this region, okay, on this peninsula. Come on over to, they go up to Antioch of Pisidia. There isn't any need for me to mark all the cities. Go back to chapter 14, or forward to chapter 14. And they leave Antioch of Pisidia. They come to, I guess I have to back up to in chapter 13 to verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. So they leave Antioch of Pisidia and they kind of go down to Iconium. It's somewhere around here. And from Iconium, they go down to Lystra and Derbe. Go over to chapter 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he'd been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when he had preached the gospel of that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. So it's kind of like this. There's a a Derbe and a Lystra and an Iconium and an Antioch. And then, so they went that way, and then they backtracked and they went, I think they sailed directly home. They didn't go back to Cyprus. But that is the area that is considered Galatia. It's not called Galatia here in the book of Acts, but it's the southern portion of Galatia. And Paul had churches there. He established them, and he wrote the Galatian letter to these churches. Lystra, Iconium, and he even considers this region over here, which is Syria and Cilicia, part of that too. But when we get over to Acts chapter 18, or 17, I should say, that's not right. It's Acts chapter 16. Pardon me for getting that wrong. Acts chapter 16. We see that Paul makes a second missionary journey. So I'm going to use a different color this time. I'll use blue. And this time he departs from Antioch, which is up here. That's really probably where he left from the last time. So I had him departing from Israel. That was just as wrong as it could be. Let me get this right here. I want to be at least partly correct. Here's Antioch. So he would have sailed to Cyprus that way. And then from here, he went right back home. First missionary journey in red. Second one, he goes from Antioch and he goes straight into the regions of Syria, Cilicia, and Galatia by foot, by land. Okay, and I say by foot. He might have had a horse. I don't know. But he comes there, verse 1. Then he came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there. So I know he's in the same region there. And come down to verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. All right. Now, Asia's over here. So what we have is Phrygia must be in this area too, because he went through here and then he cut up this way. And it says, this is what's important, in verse 6, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. I'm going to circle Asia, because that is one of the areas that Peter wrote a letter to. Also, verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, which is way up here on the kind of northwestern tip of the peninsula of what we call Turkey today. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, which is over here to the east. In other words, they were intending to go that way. It says, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And then he ends up seeing a man say, come into Macedonia and help us. So they sail over here. And Paul's original intent was to go into Asia and Bithynia, but it says the Spirit suffered him not. So go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 there, and notice again that Asia and Bithynia are in verse 1. And those are regions that Peter was addressing, some individuals he was writing to. Because you have to ask the question, Paul, whose ministry is separate there from Peter's, and here's Greece over here, Paul is in a region and he's right there nearby Asia and Bithynia and some of these other regions that are mentioned. But the Spirit does not permit him to go to either one of them. And then he gets a vision, which we didn't read about, but it's there if you want to finish reading Acts 16. And he sees a man over here, which is Macedonia, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And he ends up in Philippi and that kind of a thing. So we have to at least wonder, why did the Spirit not permit Paul to go there? Well, we've got some clues here. Because in 1 Peter, Peter's writing some things to people in that region. And you can let go of the book of Acts and turn back to the book of Revelation chapter 1 just for a moment, just for a reference. Revelation chapter 1. And notice in verse 4, this is something that John wrote. The Apostle John addresses a letter in verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, remember, Asia is not what you think of today. Asia is not, you know, Indochina and China and India and all that stuff. Asia for them was what we call Turkey today, and in fact, the western portion of Turkey. And it is in Asia, there are some cities, and look at them in verse 11, saying, this is the angel of the Lord speaking to John there, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I'm just skipping to read the names. So there's seven cities in Asia there. And there's more than seven, I'm sure, but there's seven that John is writing to. So here's the interesting thing. Peter has a ministry of writing at least one letter, if not both, to some people in those regions. And John has a ministry to write a letter to some churches in one of those regions that Paul was forbidden to go to. Now, that's interesting to me. You could say, well, the two are unconnected, but it's hard to leave that alone. It's hard to not maybe connect the dots here. Paul, who had every intention to go into Asia and Bithynia and Pontus, is redirected by the Holy Ghost, or maybe I should say is forbidden by the Holy Ghost to go to the regions and redirected through a vision to go into Europe, leaving behind this area. And what's interesting about that is after Paul completed a missionary journey through Macedonia and Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, and it comes down to Corinth, Athens and Corinth and Achaia, whatever, and then he sails. And, you know, this took years. I mean, it's not like he's on a 7-day trip. This took many, many months. And so after he sails from Greece, he goes into Asia. And bless God, you know where he goes? Ephesus. And you find that in Acts chapter 18 and 17. And so then you have to ask, okay, why was he not permitted to go here earlier? And now he can. And you could say, well, because God wanted to go preach in Macedonia first. Maybe it's just that simple. Could be, but he was forbidden to go there. I mean, what difference would it have made the order necessarily unless God had a reason that concerned another ministry of another man like Peter and John? In other words, for the longest time, a lot of theologians believed that, and I can only speak for the book of Revelation because that's the one they address, that John wrote it very, very late, like in 90 AD or something like that. Now, they don't necessarily believe that's true. There's some disagreements over it. It used to be almost a consensus. Well, I'm among those who believe it's not true, that it wasn't written late, but rather very early. In fact, I believe John would have written his book of Revelation and Peter would have written both of his epistles prior to Paul ever going into Asia. And the reason why is because of the doctrine that those letters contain are doctrine that pertain to the kingdom and tribulation that Paul would not have preached the same thought, the same thing to different individuals. Now let's look and see why. 1 Peter chapter 1. There's the premise. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and unto you and peace be multiplied. All right, there's his opening. There's his salutation. So we have to look at who these individuals are. He says they're strangers scattered. All right, what do you think of when you think of being scattered? And a nation that would have to fit that description.
You were scattered after the persecution.
Absolutely right. Go back to Acts chapter 12. The book of Acts chapter 12. Actually, I want Acts chapter 11. I could really do this. It might be fair to do it this way. Get Acts chapter 8, and then we'll get Acts chapter 11. I really don't want Acts chapter 12. That's just more of the persecution, particularly against Peter. But look with me in Acts chapter 8. And Acts chapter 8 follows the martyrdom of Stephen. Stephen is the first believer killed after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And he's killed in Acts chapter 7, stoned to death. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we read, and Saul, now y'all know who Saul is, right? He's going to become Paul later. Right now, he's the blasphemous, persecuting, Christ-hating Jew that doesn't like this message. But it says, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, which is where Stephen was killed. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. All right. So it's believers, not just any Jews, but Jewish believers that have been scattered here as a result of persecution. There was a dispersion and a scattering of Jews before in the Old Testament, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about the saints of God here. Go to Acts chapter 11. A little time passes, and we see some more about them in verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as it's Phoenicia, but you might know it as Phoenicia, okay, and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And why were they preaching to Jews only? Because God told them to preach to Jews only. But the point is, they were scattered from here. This is Israel. It's not easy to see my little poorly drawn map. But they were scattered and they went north. They went through the regions of Judea and Samaria, and then they go as far as Antioch, which is pretty far from Israel. It's in Syria. And it's a good distance there. And there's no reason to believe that the persecution necessarily stopped there, because it looks like they may have gone even farther. And that's what 1 Peter seems to indicate. Back in 1 Peter chapter 1, we see strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia. They're called strangers because they're far from home. They're strangers in their land. They're not in Israel. They're not where they belong. They're scattered out there. In fact, even back in... You don't have to turn here if you don't want to, but I'm just going to make a reference to it, and I'm checking my site to make sure it's right. Yes, in Acts chapter 2, if you remember Pentecost, it's the feast that brings all these Jews from other parts of the world back to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And it describes these Jews that are there in Jerusalem for that feast as being from every nation under heaven. And in the description, they list several nations from whence they came. And it says among those nations, it says, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. So a Jew is a Jew. We know who that is. A proselyte is a Gentile that converted to become a Jew, literally got circumcised and kept the law and worshiped God, the God of Abraham. And they were from Rome, so they're called strangers of Rome. In other words, they were Jews that had been scattered. They lived far off, but they were coming to the feast of Pentecost there. So Peter is writing to Jews. Further evidence of that is back in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to skip ahead because we're looking at the description of who is being addressed in our letter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm just going to cut into the context here because we'll deal with all the verses as we come to them later. But verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the flesh, having your conversation honest among who? The Gentiles. Then are these Gentiles? No. They're Jews among Gentiles. They were called strangers and pilgrims because they're not in their home. They're called a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Harking back to two passages of Scripture that Peter's referring to in the Old Testament, let's look at those because we need to for the sake of understanding. He refers to a passage in verse 9, and he refers to a different passage in verse 10. Let's take verse 9 first, holding there to 1 Peter, and turn to Exodus 19. We always believe in letting the Bible interpret the Bible because my opinion is absolutely worthless. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what Scripture says. And so we can go and see what Peter intended without trying to read into his words. We can read the Scriptures that he's referring to. Exodus 19. And of course, we're going back to the time that Israel was delivered out of Egypt. The Exodus and the time of Moses delivering them, God delivering them through Moses. And Moses goes up to the mountain in Sinai. Look in verse 3. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, because God is there in the mountain. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Now we're just going to believe the Bible means what it says, and I believe Moses is addressing Israel. Nobody else. And here's the word of God to them, verse 4. You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, And he's talking about all the plagues that happened. And how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Well, there is no doubt about it. Peter's thinking of this as he's talking to these strangers there. Now, we know something historically, right? We know that Israel did not keep God's covenant. And they did not become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation above all people. They were offered opportunity after opportunity to repent, to turn from their ways and idol worshiping. And they were sent prophet after prophet. And finally, God sent his son. And they said, this is the heir. Let's kill him and seize on the inheritance. In other words, the nation itself, not every individual, but the nation and its leaders said, crucify him. We'll have no king but Caesar. And so God called out of that nation a new nation. He called out of Israel those that would believe on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said to them, it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Little flock in Luke 12:32. He also said in Matthew 21, I believe, that the kingdom would be taken from you, leaders, Pharisees and scribes, and given to a nation that will bring forth fruit thereof. And so that's who Peter's referring to. That's the nation that he brought out, God brought out of Israel to believe on Messiah and be a part of the kingdom that will reign as kings and priests and everything else. And then, without letting go of 1 Peter, he said in verse 10 of chapter 2, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. And you can let go of Exodus, but turn to the book of Hosea, which is right past Daniel in your Old Testament. So what I'm trying to show you is that in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter refers to a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, matching the promise God made to Israel back there in Exodus 19. And then later in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, he said that ye were in time past not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. And we find that in the book of Hosea chapter 1. There's no need to read all of the passage there, but the bottom line, the context is, Hosea is told to go take a wife. She's called a wife of whoredoms, and she represents Israel in her state of apostasy from God. She was being an adulterous nation to God, and so he takes this woman to wife to represent Israel. And verse 2. Hosea 1 verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms departing from the Lord. So you see how she typifies Israel in her state. Verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, not Pile, Gomer the woman, took Gomer the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, this is God telling Hosea, call his name, the son, Jezreel. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Now, we don't need to go back and look at the story about Jehu. I'm more interested in the last part of the statement there. That the name Jezreel has something to do with the fact that God will cause the kingdom to cease. Verse 6, let's skip. I want to get to the names. I'm more interested in the names of the children. Verse 6, and she conceived again, this is Gomer, and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, Hosea, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. So Israel is going to have a time when they would not have mercy. Verse 7, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. And on it goes. And it had to do with the fact that Israel was taken first, but then later Judah was taken. Now look in verse 8. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. All of these things came to be fulfilled. It was prophecy in types that would show the stages of Israel. First losing the kingdom, then receiving no mercy, and then they would not be his people. And that's the condition that God found when Jesus Christ comes, that they were in the apostasy. He was ready to pass judgment on them. One final thing, here's my son. They'll reverence my son. But they said, no, we don't want this man. And therefore, God destroyed that nation that rejected Jesus Christ, but drew out of them a new nation that would believe. And so notice in verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be, a future idea, shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Well, if we go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, you can see the connection in verse 10. Peter saying to these strangers, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He's writing to Jews that believe the truth of Jesus Christ, that have been scattered into this region. And because of my time, I have to stop. But Lord willing, we will pick up next week. And we're going to go further with this now that we know who Peter's addressing. And we're going to see the reason why Paul could not go into these regions until Peter had finished writing his letter to them. And when we get into the doctrine of what's going on here, you'll really see why. Okay? So I do have to stop there.